You're listening to Authorpreneurs Unleashed with host Catherine McClatchy, demystifying the business of writing.
While everyone's offline for the holidays, now is the perfect time to rethink the essentials of your authorpreneur plans for 2023. Today, Catherine and I will be discussing the foundations for your plans of the new year. Now, Catherine, I know you're a productivity nerd. Why is this so near and dear to your heart?
I accidentally fell into planning, goal setting, and teaching planning and goal setting and productivity from my first starts in marketing 30 years ago. I loved the research. I loved watching what was being learned and practiced and developed. And I've been able to share a lot of these skills in different industries. And I think it's something that writers don't think through completely. And because so many writers haven't fully understood that they are entrepreneurs and they are business people, They don't treat their writing like a business. So that's what I'd like to talk about today. Let's look at being an authorpreneur, a writer, as a business. If you want to achieve your goals, you got to have goals, right?
To have goals, it's like, it's great to say, oh, I've made a goal, but unless it has some way to make it actionable or measurable, you know, it's just pie in the sky kind of dream. Oh, one day I hope. Mm-hmm. What are the parts of this productivity plan that we need to look at?
Well, I think the first thing is revisiting your core, your foundation for your business. And you can look at that as why you write or why you edit or why you do social media, why you're building your author platform. We've got to ask some core questions. And the first being, what are your core values? What do you want to accomplish? Why is writing important to you? Is this about your faith? Is this about your experience? Is this about shedding a light and advocating for something? It's got to be deeper than I'm writing books to sell to make money, because the fact of the matter is most authors are not making money with their books, you know, but we still write and we still develop a plan that will set us up for success in the future.
You can have your very personal why and still have in your values to support yourself as a professional author. They don't have to be or counterbalance of each other.
No, exactly. They should work together, and you're more likely to make financial profit through your writing if you have these core things in place, because you're writing from a deeper place than just I'm getting these stories out and I'm building my backlist so I can sell books. If that's it, then it becomes a job, right? And being a creative entrepreneur, being an artist, I mean, I've said it before, writing is the most creative abstract art there is. You have 26 squiggles to create a world in somebody else's head. So you are an artist. There is a craft here, but you got to think of something deeper to keep you putting the words on the page, to keep you making your word count goals, to get your stuff done in time for your editor or your publisher, because otherwise, you know, you're just sitting in front of a keyboard typing about your imaginary friends.
Right.
There's got to be something deeper.
Okay. We've talked before about your values and whys for doing Authorpreneurs Unleashed. Mm-hmm. What are your values for your writing? Can you give an example? Why do you write what you write? Because you are a writer on top of your business and your community and your podcast.
Right. My writing has taken a bit of a backseat because I found that I actually enjoyed the business side and the coaching and the social media more than I enjoyed writing for a deadline. I still love to write, but it's not the first part of my business. And I learned that going through this process. And I think that's another thing to remember is we are growing, breathing, changing, evolving humans, you know, so maybe when you set your purpose, your values, your vision, your mission 6 years ago, it may not be relevant today. Mm-hmm. So I really think the end of the year is a great time to revisit that. So the values, who are you? What's your internal code of conduct? Do you have a worldview that is unshakable? For many, it's their faith. For many, it's family. You know, whatever your core value is, you need to be able to articulate that and put that on paper so you can look at that and have a touch point. The second thing is the vision. Close your eyes and imagine, what do you want to have done at the end of next year? What do you want people to talk about you and your business at your funeral? You know, think farther out. Who do you want to become? Who do you want your business to become? What do you want your writing legacy to be? Get that vision and actually think it through and put it on paper, because if you don't know where you're going, you're certainly not going to get there.
Right.
And then the third step is back to the purpose. Why do you want to do the thing? What's the reason behind it? We've talked in previous podcasts. For me, the purpose for doing what I do is because I want to help authors put their stories in the hearts and the hands of the people who need those stories. I think stories is pretty much the most effective way to change people and to change the world and to build empathy and build community. So my purpose, it's, yeah, I hope to make a living, but my purpose is actually getting those stories out there to change people and to open communication and dialogue and create community. Mm-hmm. And then the mission, which will lead into the goal settings. How do you want to do this? How will you do this? Once you have your values, your vision, your purpose in place, now your mission is, how am I going to do this? It will give you a roadmap. It'll give you the tools you need. And it'll also help you identify ways you don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of authors, they want to be a best-selling author, but they don't want to be writing 10 hours a day. They don't want to do this full time. Others, you know, maybe their value is travel. They would rather spend a lot of time traveling and have their writing support that or share what they're learning through their travels. So that's part of the value, but it also helps identify the mission of how they're going to get this done.
As I'm listening to this, I'm thinking that kind of sounds overwhelming to someone who's never done it before, or who might be at a place in their own development, like they have stories they're writing well, but they're not quite sure if they have their values or their vision isn't 100% what it should be to really base a business on. How would you recommend somebody like that approaching this task if it's just overwhelming or causing anxiety for them?
Okay, so this is supposed to lessen anxiety, not cause it. Start small. I think with everything we do, start small. You know what you know today. You know you're going to learn things as you go. So all we can do as humans is make the best decision with the information we have at the moment.
Right.
So for those who are just starting out and dipping their toes in the writing world and aren't fully developed in their businesses yet, this is a great place to dream and try new things. But if you don't know what your options are, how do you know what to try, right? So I would just say, spend some time dreaming. What do you think this will be? And then prioritize those dreams, because all of our dreams aren't going to come true. There's only 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You know, we do have some limitations, but it's amazing what you can accomplish when you start to identify what you want to accomplish.
And the whole point of doing this is in a way to where annually, at least, and more often if necessary, you come back and reevaluate so you can pivot on whatever doesn't work or whatever does work.
Yeah, I'm all about course correcting, and I think we're going to talk about that a little more in a few minutes.
We've got our foundation. We've got a PDF made. Maybe we've got a vision board on Pinterest started.
Oh, vision boards are awesome. That I'm so glad you mentioned that. If you are a visual learner, definitely create a vision board and have that as your wallpaper on your computer or phone to keep you reminding you of your dream and your goal. But here's the thing. If we don't have a dream, if we don't have a vision, then we're just wondering, and it's really hard to prioritize all the opportunities when you don't know exactly the direction you're aiming for.
Right.
That's what I find overwhelming because, you know, as a writer, you get so many amazing opportunities. It continues to stun me, you know, when you say you're a writer, how that opens doors. I've gotten to go to places the public doesn't get to go and have experiences the average person doesn't get to experience just because I'm a writer doing research for a book. And I absolutely love that. But again, we only have 24 hours in a day. You've got to start figuring out which opportunities are going to get you to your prioritized goals.
Right.
And if I get overwhelmed with opportunities because, you know, I've never been bored because there's always so much to do, to learn, to experience,
right,
people to meet and talk to,
yeah,
you know, but if you know that, okay, this is on mission for me, this is not on mission for my goals this year, it's easier to say no to certain things or to prioritize other things.
So the word that's coming up to me then is alignment. It all has to mm-hmm. be an alignment with your core foundation.
Yes.
And so how do you make all the little things that have to be done come into alignment?
Great question. And that is your opportunities that we were just talking about. Do the opportunities align with my core values? Do they align with my goals? Do they align with my mission and purpose, right? So that's the first step. But then a lot of things that I think people overlook is your branding. Mm-hmm. Does your branding align with your purpose, your mission, your vision? I've just been going through that process this year. And in the Authorpreneurs community, we're going to talk about branding a lot in January. So this is something that I've jumped ahead and started working on. And I'm refreshing my brand. Maybe if anyone follows me on social media, they'll start seeing things go that way. And it's intentional because as I looked back on my past years and what my brand looked like, it did not represent who I've become or how my business has grown. Mm. So the colors are going to be lighter and fresher. When I started and built my original brand, I was focusing on being a mystery writer. So it was more dark. It was more moody. It was still me, but it was more representative of the genre that I was writing at the time. Now I'm really enjoying the digital media work. I'm really enjoying the community and the podcasting, and I want my branding to be more inviting, more inclusive, more come along with me for this ride as we learn together what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had to overhaul a lot of my branding, and my website is being overhauled for the same reason. It no longer speaks to my current goals and the vision and the purpose for what we're doing here.
Even the podcast is getting a facelift, and it's still a baby. It's not even a year old.
It is, but we realized starting out, I was really happy with the cover and the brand that we chose. But again, it didn't represent the clean, crisp feel that I wanted everything to have. And,
right.
And I'm not necessarily a minimalist, but I do want to get rid of the clutter. Mm-hmm. And I hope that listening to the podcasts, reading the blog, joining the community. Again, so many opportunities exist in our world, but some of that becomes clutter and we can't
right.
see through it. So if we can help folks, you know, find out what is essential and what is not, and focus on what needs to be done to build your craft as a writer, to market your books, to build your author platform, all these things need to be looked at least once a year. Experts suggest that you do a complete rebrand every 5 to 7 years and a refresh every 2 to 3 years. Mm. So I'm actually on the timeline. It's been March of 2020 was my last brand refresh. So I'm really glad that I got to look at that. But there's a lot more to branding than just picking colors. And that's another thing I want to remind people. You know, there's a lot of psychology behind branding. Even the fonts you choose give a message. The mm-hmm. colors you choose have a psychology behind them. The aesthetic that you choose sets the mood. So you want to make sure all of that is in alignment with what you say you believe, with what you say you want to accomplish, and why you're doing what you do. The best resource for writers And it's by a writer. Donald Miller is a best-selling author, and he was an author before he went into the marketing world. And now he's a very successful entrepreneur helping others build their businesses. And one of his books is Building a Story Brand. Building a Story Brand. We will link this in the show notes. But if you have no idea how to start branding, I would suggest you start with that book, because he uses analogies that click for those of us who write.
Mm-hmm. So once you get your branding in alignment, you mentioned all these things that writers have to have mm-hmm. to sell, to connect, to learn. How do you prevent that from becoming overwhelming or just taking up too much time?
Set a timer. I think that is the simplest and most effective tool in time management, because whatever you sit down to do will expand to fill the time you give it. So it's, and again, the illustration we all are familiar with, company calls, we're going to be there in 20 minutes and your house is a wreck. Man, I've done some of my best house cleaning in 20 minutes, knowing that somebody was about to be there. So if you can even just do 20 minutes to think through this stuff, set 20 minutes another day to evaluate your brand, set another 20 minutes to evaluate what social media platforms you're putting your time into. Social media platforms change. There's new ones coming up. Mm-hmm. I've been really excited learning about the Fediverse and the blockchain Web3 stuff. You know, things are coming, and I want to make sure that I have the time to focus on that. So I set a clock, and you know, my alarms go off. So you can accomplish more in 20 minutes than you think you can.
So what I'm hearing is being intentional with your time, but shouldn't we also be intentional with where we're...
Well, that's exactly right. You know, if you're looking for an editor or a publisher, you want to make sure that the big core values match your own. You know, if you are very much about maybe a certain issue, I don't like to talk about politics, but in this venue, but you know, if politics is part of your platform, you definitely want somebody who's going to support that. Mm-hmm. If you are wanting to talk about more female options or opportunities, or being a mom boss, you know, if that's your chosen demographic and your ideal audience, then you need to be on a platform that attracts those people. Right?
Right.
So we know statistically that Twitter leans more male and Instagram leans more female. So if your target audience is female, you definitely want to spend a little more time there than maybe mm-hmm. you do on Twitter. Same thing if you're trying to reach out to a more professional business crowd. Maybe you write things that are more appropriate for leadership or marketing like me. You want to be active on LinkedIn. So evaluate that the platform is aligned with where you want to go and the people you want to be influencing, because we're all influencers to some part, even though we're not mm-hmm. doing influencer marketing. That's a different topic. But, you know, if you're really upset, I have a number of friends who are just so upset about Facebook and Twitter and how one person can dominate an industry. You know, a lot of them are going over to the Fediverse, and it's a very different feel and a very different community. So I'm a big fan of Donald Miller. I got to say, he connects with me. His book last year, I was one of the first to buy it when it came out, was Hero on a Journey. It takes you through the goal setting process, and it does it as if you are following the hero's journey. Everything in the book relates to the hero's journey, which most of us writers are familiar with. And you are the hero in your journey, but you got to plan your goals as if. And so many of us don't. We let the world act on us rather than being intentional. And that's the key word, I think, with all of what we're talking about today is, do you want to be intentional, or do you want to let things happen to you and be in a place of reactivity? And I think it's the reactivity that causes a lot of the overwhelm and the stress that you mentioned earlier. If you have a plan in place, when those things start happening, you know okay, I can focus in on this. This is not part of my plan. I don't have to focus on this.
So when we're goal setting, being intentional, trying to avoid being reactionary. I've heard some people say, you know, they can dream big dreams, but then they're not sure how to do smaller steps to get there. How do you scale that down? Like in 25 years, or I want to make this much money. Mm-hmm. How do you keep your long-term vision for yourself, long-term goal for yourself? How do you break that down to just this coming year?
So dream big. Yeah, absolutely. Spend time dreaming what you want to accomplish. And then just like when you write your first draft, stick it in a drawer for a few days, few weeks, however much time you have, and let it sit and percolate. And then come back and look at that list and with a more critical eye. You know, when you're dreaming, it's brainstorming. Everything's fair game. Right. I do like to create categories that I dream in. So those of you that have followed me for any length of time, I have 5 focus areas in my world. My faith, my family and friends, my business. Those are 3 big ones. We'll just stick with those. So I would make a list of dreams. What do I want to have happen in my business? And everything's fair game. Right. What do I want to make happen in my relationships? Everything's fair game. And then when I come back to it a few days, a few weeks later with an analytical mind instead of a drafting mind, then I can go through and go, well, yeah, that's nice, but honestly, that's not that important. And you can start prioritizing and crossing items off the list so that you're left with maybe 5 key things that you want to focus in on. And these may be big things. This might be a 10-year thing or a 1-year thing. So you have to evaluate. If it's a big thing that you know you can't do in a year, then how can you break it up to where you're working towards that goal? And just the fact of having that in front of you, you will subconsciously start working towards it and finding people and things and resources to help you accomplish that if you keep it in focus. So once you have those, once you've prioritized it, look at which goals are easy. You know you can do this in a year if you just focus on it, right? It's a doable thing. Some are a little bit harder. You actually are going to have to work for those. And you want to have a couple of those goals too, because the feeling of accomplishment at the end of the year will make it worth it. And then those stretch goals. What are the goals that, you know, all the planets have to align, everything has to be right, everybody has to jump in and support this, or it's something that's big enough, you've got to spread it over a couple of years. So throw in some of those and then determine, are they SMART goals? I think most people are familiar with the acronym. SMART stands for specific. It has to be a specific objective. You can't be vague about it. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. It has to be something you can measure. If you can't measure it, how do you know if you've succeeded or not? And that might be, you know, if it's a health goal, I ran the 5 mile in a certain time limit. If it's a relationship goal, I had, you know, a date night every month with my spouse, you know, in a big way. Whatever it is, it's got to be something you can measure. The A, depending on who you talk about, is it attainable? Is it achievable? If it's not something that can be done, you need to throw it out. You know, obviously me riding a rocket ship to the moon, I don't care how much I love of astronomy, that's not happening. So we're not putting it on the list, right? Me being a size 2, never going to happen, you know, so that's not a goal. So think about what is attainable for you. And then the R, what's relevant? It might be a nice goal, but if it's not relevant to your priorities, or if it's not relevant to your values, then you don't need to spend time on it.
And this is why it's so important to start with those core
exactly
values, vision, mission, purpose first. And then you were going to say that the last, the T in SMART,
is time-based. You need to be able to set a time. It's not, if you don't put a time on it, it's a dream. It's not a goal. So if it's not written down, it's a dream. It's not a goal. So make sure it's time-based, because again, you got to know how you're going to assess whether you succeeded or not. And by that, again, you can't define if you succeeded in your goals if you don't define what success is. I know there's a lot of writers out there who want to be successful, but they don't know what that means to them. You know, if you are money focused, if you are trying to earn a certain dollar point, then that is your goal, and you will make decisions based on that outcome. If your goal is to be an advocate and use your stories to change lives, then maybe you don't care how much money you make. You just want to get that story into the hands of a certain demographic who needs to hear it. If you're writing to add to your credibility as an expert in another field, then how much money you make off the book may or may not be relevant. So be sure you know what your purpose is, what your why is, and then make sure you can define what success is, so you know at the end of that timeline whether or not you actually achieved your goal.
And the other side of goal setting, you know, we're setting up for the new year. Mm-hmm. That means we're also having to look at our last year mm-hmm. and evaluating how we did. Were we successful? Right. And, you know, I've gone through various stages of reacting to this, from completely shutting down. I didn't meet my goals, therefore goal setting is for suckers. to being a very, very gentle with myself. I will make this, you know, I will succeed in this goal. Maybe if I feel like it, if everything aligns, you know, for everything, giving myself a very gentle way out so I don't have to be critical with myself, you know, and I think everybody probably goes through stages like this mm-hmm. to some degree. And I'm getting back to the point where I am trying, I've started my own business. I have to be more goal oriented. So what do we do with our goals from last year if we've only been mildly successful, or we are done beating ourselves up and we're looking towards the goals of the next year? How do we shift that mindset from, I didn't make what I had planned last year, how am I going to do better at achieving my goals this year?
Well, I think the start is we all need to give ourselves a lot more grace than we do. Every woman I have met is way too hard on themselves, and I don't know how or why that happens. But the fact is, we deserve as much grace for ourselves as we give to others.
Amen.
And we often treat others a whole lot nicer than we treat ourselves. So let's just put that in perspective up front. The other thing to keep in mind is none of us are the same people we were last year this time, right? Life has happened to us. Family dynamics have changed. Births, deaths, marriages, divorces. I mean, just the fact of living changes us. So you also have to look at those goals and say, are those even relevant or priorities for me anymore? Mm. If that goal is no longer important to you, then it doesn't matter if you didn't achieve it or not. So I think putting things in perspective is a big start. The other thing that I would suggest you do before you start planning for the next year, looking back on the last year, I don't believe we fail our goals. I think we have wins and we have lessons. Mm. So if you can look at what worked, at what didn't work, and figure out a little bit of why that might have been. Some it's obvious, like 2020, we had a pandemic. Nobody met their goals, you know, and a lot of people ended up having to take care of family members, becoming caregivers, homeschooling when they had no intention of doing that. So to look at realistically the whole picture in context, I think we tend to be pretty myopic when we look at our goals and we look at them in a vacuum, but life mm-hmm. doesn't happen in a vacuum. So that's the first thing. Give yourself some grace. Put it all in perspective. Figure out what worked. The goals you succeeded at, were they easy goals? Did you, you know, work harder than anticipated with those goals? Did you set yourself up for success in a certain way? What worked? Try to break down and find the factors of success. And then look at the ones that didn't come out the way you thought they would, and figure out what you learned from that. Did you learn that it doesn't matter what your goal is for your weight? You are not getting up every morning and running 5 miles. You know, that we learned something about ourselves there. Did you learn that your current family situation is not conducive to you writing for 6 hours a day? You know, let's look at what worked and what didn't and come out with some lessons and some takeaways. Did you learn maybe that you don't have the skills you thought you had? I think especially right. for beginning writers, we have this idea from watching TV, you know, Angela Lansbury's traveling the world as a best-selling author writing all these books, and you never actually see her writing, you know. people have this idea that they can sit down and in one draft write a best-selling book. Well, that's not the reality. There's a lot of, you know, you can, and you can put it up on Kindle, but the fact is it's going to be a piece of crap because that's what everybody's first draft is. The good writing happens in the rewriting, and a lot of authors learn that in the process they need more research, they need more skills, they need to take some classes. What did you learn about yourself, about your process, about your skill sets that you need to take into account before you set your goals and your plans for next year?
Right. Right. So you can use last year's goal as a template for next year's goals. What kind of goals work for me? What, you know, focus on time management goals. Those are important, but I need to reshape instead of ultimatums, maybe, weekly goals instead of minute by minute, you know, 5 a.m. run kind of thing, and find out what kind of goals just don't have any place on your list for next year.
And you hit on something really important. Psychologists tell us that there are two types of people, those that are punishment focused and those that are reward focused, meaning, are you the type of person who works better knowing that you're working towards a reward? Or your pleasure is more important? Or are you a person who will avoid pain at all costs? Mm. So you work to avoid the punishment. So knowing that about yourself will also help you, like you said, word your goals in such a way. If you're one who works to avoid punishment, then there are some tips and tricks and ways to word your goals and ways to get other people involved to help you avoid those pain points. If you're somebody who needs to celebrate every milestone, and that's what, you know, fuels your fire and recharges you to get your goals done, then you need to set those rewards in as part of the process. After you've come up with your goals, you've made sure they're all SMART goals. You've identified what success is going to look like for you. My next suggestion is to create some affirmations for each of those goals and use them as a mantra before you need them. So if my goal is to lose 50 pounds next year, maybe my affirmation will be, I am making healthy choices in this moment. And I'm going to tell myself that every morning. I'm going to tell myself that when I don't want to exercise. I'm going to tell myself that when somebody offers me an extra piece of chocolate cake. You figure out what you can have to make your goal, but then in the moment when you're tempted to do something else, you know, that new Netflix show that you want to watch is on and you know you have 100 more words to write before bedtime, have an affirmation ready that will remind you of that goal and why it's important to you. I love one of my clients. Not only did she make her affirmations, but she posted them on all the bathroom mirrors and the kitchen refrigerator so she would see them repeatedly throughout the day. And it got to the point where her child, when she was having those moments there, she should be doing something else. Her child started, you know, telling her her affirmations for her. So that's a great way to set yourself up for success.
Also, using like free Canva, you can make wallpapers for your phone, for your desktop. You know, there's so many ways just to remind yourself.
And set your passwords. That was the best thing. I had a job 30 years ago. It was not an ideal position for me. I thought it would be an easy job. I had a new baby. I didn't want anything hard. I didn't want anything with requiring a lot of brain power. I was bored out of my stinking mind. It was the worst job. Lovely people, great company, bad fit for me. And I made my password buy a house, because that's why I went back to work, because we were in an apartment with a new baby and I wanted a house. So every time I had to log into my computer, I had to type buy a house. And that reminded me of why I was sitting there doing this job that was such a bad fit for me.
That's actually a really great one. I like that. Yep.
And that was before we had, you know, the now your Chrome tells you your passwords and you can save your passwords in all your settings. But back then we had to type it in every time we sat down at a computer.
Well, I'm pretty sure Mr. Greenig from last week's episode would probably be like, don't do that. Don't do that. Type it in every time.
Yeah, type it in every time. But he would also like, he told us to have phrases instead of words. So that would fit. Dan, we listened. We paid attention.
So, hey, already we are meeting his goal. Do
Yes.
better. How do we make sure we have everything in our tool bag to accomplish that?
Great question. So in the marketing world, we have what we call SWOT analysis, and I would like to bring that into the entrepreneur world. So a SWOT analysis is basically you're analyzing your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. So look at each of your goals and analyze what are the strengths that you are bringing to this. It really helps to know where you're strong because none of us can do everything. Let me repeat that for the people in the back. You cannot do it all at the same time. So figure out what your strengths are, but also figure out what your weaknesses are because you're going to need to compensate for those weaknesses or find somebody to partner with who can compensate for those weaknesses. Look for opportunities. You know, you may have a great dream. You may be the perfect person to do it, but if there are no opportunities to sell it or to get it out into the world or to publish it, then maybe it's not an ideal situation, or maybe you need to be really focused on looking for more opportunities because you know that's going to be a challenge. And then threats. Threats in the marketing world, that looks at who's the competition out there, what are the downsides of doing this, what are the things we need to be careful about, where are the potential pitfalls. And so as you're coming up with your SWOT analysis, looking at your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats, it's vital that you be honest with yourself. Because when we're in that dream stage, everything seems possible. But this is where the rubber's kind of hitting the road and you're going to have to do the work. And this is something I live with on the regular. And poor Jill Lynn listens to me complain. Because when I feel good, I can do everything, right? I know what my capabilities are. I can take on the clients. I can send out the proposals. I'm having a good day. I can do all the work, no problem. But then the fact is, I don't always have good days. I live with a couple of chronic illnesses and they rear their heads at the most inopportune times. So I've learned my weakness is my body and the threats are the timing. So how do I compensate for that? I add in margin and I make sure I have somebody who can back my play if I go down.
Right. As we're looking at strengths and weaknesses, opportunities and threats, this is where we also go back in and being intentional. So we know we don't have to plan as much time for things that are strengths. You know, I can write a really nice professional email. I don't have to spend a lot of time doing that. For my husband, that's a weakness, but he's a math person, engineering person, and I'm a communication person. I've always said he does my math and I, you know, spell check. So as we take the SWOT analysis, the opportunities. So if you are someone who maybe doesn't have a lot of connections, you say, all right, I have no opportunities for this, but that doesn't take it off the board. You would put that under your
And
weakness.
again, it's how you phrase it, right? So that weakness, I don't know anyone in the writing community. I don't know any editors. I don't know any publishers. So maybe this is an opportunity for you to get involved in the writing community and start networking and do the pitch wars on Twitter.
You can change your weakness into an opportunity by being honest with yourself. So, that's interesting because you think it's going to fall under four columns, but there's really only three columns. Just be honest with
Right,
yourself.
but if you don't acknowledge that that's a weakness, you don't have the opportunity to flip it into an opportunity. If you don't know that you have a threat to work against you, you don't know that you need a certain strength to
Right.
manifest itself.
So weakness is simply an opportunity to become stronger. Just means you're going to, it'll take you longer to get to your goal, and that's
And you
okay.
got to be a little more creative. So this is why you are in my life, right? Because I know my weakness is accountability. I needed somebody who could keep me on task, keep me focused on my goals and pick up the slack when I ran down. And little did I know I was bringing in an audio producer when we started working together. So you opened up a new set of opportunities, which again, I didn't meet all of last year's goals. But when I set my goals, I didn't know that podcasting was going to be one of them.
Just you made those goals 4 months
too
soon. Yeah,
exactly. So again, that's one of those things when I'm assessing what the wins and the lessons were, I'm not going to ding myself on some of those other goals that didn't happen because I put time into this thing that is, you know, definitely meeting my overall core values, purpose, objectives.
Right. And I think it might be helpful or at least enlightening to kind of use what happened as a case study here for this whole process. We met just
plant swap.
It was an accidental plant swap. You know, she had Triscantia and I had
philodendron cuttings. So I have a Hartley philodendron from you and I have a, the bright purple Tritriscantia.
Oh, the Nanook.
Yeah. I got those cuttings from you.
Right. So, you know, very incidental. And we just happened to start talking about what we were doing or what our backgrounds were. There was some overlap. And so I was going to come on to help take work off your plate. I am very bad at that.
You put so much more work on my plate.
But it's fun. But when we were talking about it, you wanted me to edit pre-existing audio to turn coursework into something that could be shared on other platforms. And honestly, the quality just wasn't there, or it was done in such a way that it would not edit down very well because it was a very round table, lots of other people input. And I said, you know, honestly, this content is good. It should be a podcast so you can teach from. And that aligned with your core values. You were able to take that opportunity.
Yeah, it was because I knew what my purpose, my why, my how, all those things. What you proposed when I set goals, I would never have considered it because I did not have the skill set, the experience of a podcast. And so it wasn't an option. But then when I met you, and it was definitely in your level of expertise, and we got on so well and worked so well together, it just was a natural thing. But it perfectly, like you said, it aligned with my set purpose, vision, and values. So it was a done deal.
And I wasn't even thinking about starting a business. I had started education for something else that's only related because it uses microphones and interfaces, but it's not even in the same wheelhouse. But my ultimate goal is to have people's voices be heard, you know, to kind of take away from the bottleneck of media houses and make it more indie. Even though I wasn't ready to start a company at the moment, it aligned with my goals. And you said, hey, I have skills. We can swap skills and help each other in this. And we were able to delegate because we recognized our weaknesses and we recognized opportunities and we were able to get where we are today. And today, I mean, this is episode 21.
Who knew?
Right. I mean, we hoped. We goaled.
Well, and we, but again, talking about making the goals manageable, measurable, all of that, we did a test run with, Twitter Spaces, and we set a goal for 8 weeks. Let's look at it and see, do we like doing this? Can we do it on a schedule? Do we have enough to talk about? And we realized it did work. And in that time, we were able to create some systems and processes in Asana for us to communicate and organize our tasks and deadlines and to-do lists. That was a small goal. It took us 8 weeks to decide, okay, we can pull this off. And here's the steps we've now learned that we need to take. Here's our strengths and weaknesses from that 8 week trial run. And so that allowed us to be more successful. And that's why we're on episode 21.
Right. It wasn't an accident. Mm-mm.
The other thing I want to point out, once you've been honest with yourself, you know your strengths, your weaknesses. I think there's something in the entrepreneurial spirit or the frugalness that some of us deal with that we want to do it all ourselves, or we feel like we have to know all the things and be able to do it ourselves. I think it's a wise person who knows their limitations and is able to delegate or barter or hire somebody who has that skill set or the interest that you don't. You know, I love being an entrepreneur. I love doing the analysis. I love working with my clients. I do not enjoy the bookkeeping, the taxes, the, you know, the administrative parts of my business. So guess what I'm getting rid of as soon as I can? And I have somebody else looking over my books because I know that is a weakness. I am not a numbers person and I don't want to be a numbers person.
Right. Right, because entrepreneur, somebody who starts their own business, but it's not someone who does every aspect of their own business.
Mm-mm. No, look at the CEOs of large companies. Mm-hmm. Honestly, how much of the actual work do they do? They're doing the thing that only they can do, which is having the vision, making the plan, hiring the right people, you know, doing the things that only they can do. And that's my goal with my business, is to build it to a place where I'm doing the things only I can do. As authors, the thing you can do that nobody else can do is write your story.
Right.
You can hire somebody to edit. You can hire somebody to promote. You can hire somebody to do your social media. You can hire somebody to clean your house so you have more time to write, you know, or barter or trade, whatever you need to do. Find somebody who has that complementary skill set and barter it out if you're not at a place to do that right now. When I started my own business years and years ago and had two toddlers in tow, I made a deal with a girlfriend. She watched my kids 2 days a week so I could go grocery shopping, which I enjoyed doing. She hated shopping. And I'd buy groceries for both of us while she was watching the kids and letting me shop in peace, mm-hmm. you know, and I usually snuck in a shower before I went to the grocery store. Cause you know, when you have two toddlers underfoot, you got to get those showers.
Oh, mom life. Mm-hmm. So glamorous.
It's so nice to have 20 minutes in the bathroom by yourself. You know, I remember those days. So it's just, you know, figure out what you do well and what you hate to do. You know, if you're procrastinating on something and you're not doing it, chances are either you don't want to do it, it's really not a priority for you, or you don't mm-hmm. have the skill set. Cleaning house is my thing. I am so glad my housekeeper is coming back. She comes every other week, but she's been out on maternity leave, and my house shows it because it is not my happy place.
I think for a lot of things, there are applications or software that we can use, productivity mm-hmm. tools. You're really big on that. As you mentioned, we use Asana to coordinate things between, you know, our team. And if you don't know what you need or don't know how to use it, a lot of things like Buzzsprout for podcasting and MailerLite for emailing, they have, you know, academies, they have little courses for using their products. So there, you don't have to spend money to learn how to do something. A lot of these places that offer services mm-hmm. offer free training as well.
Correct. And our organization specifically, so the outreach for Unleashing the Next Chapter as a digital media consultant and coach, that gives me the freedom to run an author mm-hmm. community. And we are splitting that this year because different people have different needs. So the writers who want to be part of the community, they want to keep abreast of what we're doing. They want to network with others. We are offering a free Discord channel for them to have their Unleashing the Next Chapter writers community on. It's free to join, free to hook up. You'll get all the links and information. And then there were other writers who wanted to go deeper. The community we have currently, they wanted more information. They wanted it designed to look like courses. They wanted more activities, and they were willing to pay for it. So we have set up an authorpreneurs community, which is a membership-based community, and we will have each month a different focus. So there will be like 4-week classes on top of the networking and community, and we'll be able to have challenges and assignments and expert instructors. So again, find out what you need. If you're just getting started, maybe the free community, the YouTube videos, the podcasts will give you enough information to get started while you're working on a budget. Sign up for MailerLite, do the MailerLite community if you don't know how to do your newsletters. If you want to start a podcast, we have been overwhelmed with the support and the tutorials and the blog posts that have come from Buzzsprout. I would highly recommend right. them. There are resources that are available at every level of your authorpreneur journey. If you are a best-selling expert and you are looking at becoming a six-figure author, there are resources for you to do that. So wherever you are in the journey, you simply have to figure out what your goals actually are and that they're in alignment with all the things we've talked about, and then figure out what your strengths and weaknesses are and where the opportunities are, where the threats are. I keep going back to that because I really believe it's important to make sure you have everything you need to accomplish your goals.
So how do we move to action once we've done the thinking? What is the trigger for action?
So once you know what you want to accomplish, you need to break it down. You need to look very specifically at your calendar. I think a lot of people make their goals and their dreams, and they don't acknowledge the logistics of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I could accomplish so much more if I didn't have to sleep or feed my husband, you know?
Or if I didn't have children, it would be amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's season of life things, and that's where priorities come in. You may have the skill set and the ability to do amazing things and move mountains, but if you're in a season of life where you're caring for a child or caring for a senior parent, you know, that's going to change what you can accomplish. And we don't need to beat ourselves up about that. We just need to acknowledge and prioritize. So once you figure out your objective, your goal is the overriding thing. Your objective is how you're going to bring it to life. Your strategies are the tools you're going to use. The tactics is the getting it done, what goes on your task, your to-do list. And I strongly encourage you not to just put it on a to-do list. If you have a to-do list to organize and prioritize, that's fine. But once you get the three things that you really have to do today, if it's important, you put it on your calendar. You don't leave it on a to-do list. Also, you need to think about when is the most efficient time to do things. It's not always because I have this chunk of time available. You have to think about what's going on in your environment at that time. You know, if the kids are home from school and they're going to be pestering you for snacks and TV and homework help, you do not need to be planning a task that requires full concentration at that moment. That's, you know, a good time to do dishes or fold laundry because you can multitask that. So look at your calendar. Also consider your personal chronotype. And I've talked about this before, and I'm going to tell you again, if you have not read The Power of When by Michael Bruce, you really need to, because there are four chronotypes, and this is based on your DNA. You can take a swab of your cheek and find out your chronotype, or you can take a test that's pretty darn accurate online at thepowerofwhen.com, find out your chronotype. But knowing that helps you find the best time when you most efficiently do certain tasks. There is a specific time when you need to do creative work. There's a specific time when you need to do analytic work. There's a specific time when you are going to have a slump in your day and no energy and foggy thinking. We all do that. There's a specific time when it's best for you to sleep. Not everybody needs the same amount of sleep or at the same time in the calendar. So I think we need to rethink a lot of the things that we've been told since childhood. Not all of us need to go to sleep at 10 p.m. and get up at 5 p.m. Not all of us are morning persons, and that's okay. So figure out when you work best for the task that you need to do and put it on your calendar. Because honestly, if you don't want to put space on your calendar for this, it's probably not really a priority for you, and you need to rethink why it's a goal.
So we're scheduling out our year. We're making sure everything aligns with our core. Mm-hmm. We are making smart goals and sending them through SWOT thought processes. Mm-hmm. If I just say, you know, by the end of January or by the end of July, these goals, how do I evaluate as I go? Do I just wait till next December?
No.
What's the best way to reevaluate?
Oh, that's a great question. Again, you got to know yourself a little bit and what works and what doesn't work for you. Some folks need to step on the scale every day. Some folks once a week. Some folks once a month. Some folks are okay just checking if their clothes fit at the end of the year, you know, if that's what you were doing. I would also suggest that you break down those goals and schedule them quarterly or even monthly. You know, if you are a person that has short-term focus, maybe breaking that big overriding goal into a one-month smaller goal will help you get it done. And you have 12 pieces. The quarterly goals tend to work really well. Most companies, when they analyzed how their teams met their sales goals or their production goals for the year, found that October, November, December were the most productive times, and over 90% of the goal was accomplished in those 3 months. So the authors of the 12-week year started looking at that and strongly encourage you to set your goals in 12-week quarterly increments rather than annual years. So if you have 4 goals for the year and you work on them throughout the year, you may or may not complete them. What they found is you will be way more successful if you take 1 goal per quarter, and you will more likely accomplish all 4 of those goals by the end of the year by putting it in a shorter term. That's the same way we do with academics. I come from a teaching background, so working by semesters makes sense to me. So it was really easy to switch to that 12-week year. And I find not only is it more productive for me and I'm more likely to accomplish the goal, but I've also found that at the end of the 12 weeks, when I'm looking for my next goal to put in there, the goals I set in January may not still be applicable come July. I may want to reset or course correct those goals or change them completely. And that is okay. If life changes, if your situation changes, maybe you met a goal early, maybe a goal is no longer a priority. There is no shame in changing those goals as you go. I would much rather people do that than beat themselves up at the end of the year for not completing a goal. And the writers of the 12-week year just within the last year, I believe, released a 12-week year for writers. And we're going to put those links in the show notes also. But it's specifically geared to help you get your writing done. So if writing a certain number of words or a certain number of books is a goal, you might want to look at the 12-week year for writers. And the author is Trevor Thrall, Brian Moran, and Michael Lennington. And boy, I would love to interview them for the podcast. Let's make that a goal. I don't know how realistic it is, but it's worth looking into.
If I wanted to do this, I do this now, coming up to Christmas, and then say 18th or so, I just put it in my drawer, put it away. And then I pick it back up right after the new year. Is that a good time to solidify, to look over the analytical?
Sure.
Is it that much time? Just start before the holidays and then pick it up again after the holidays.
So I have learned that something is always better than nothing.
Mm.
So if it is not realistic for you to go through and do the analysis and do the wins and the lessons and all the things, perhaps you need to make your, you know, a lot of companies have different fiscal years than they do calendar years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe your entrepreneur life is not the same as your annual calendar. I think that's also something we need to know about ourselves, especially if you're publishing something that has a season. You need to work with the publishing season. So, you know, if you're writing romance, a lot of those books are year round, but there's always that push around Valentine's and there's always that push for summer reads. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're writing mystery, the publishing push is usually in the fall. So, you know the schedule of your genre and when you want to publish, and then, you know, work your goals around your writing entrepreneurial year. A lot of organizations use a November through October kind of year. And so I think that's fine too. But do something to work closer. You know, if all you can do the rest of this month is reevaluate your vision, your values, your purpose, your mission, that's a big thing.
Right.
So don't worry about doing it all perfectly. Doing something and working towards that end goal is a good thing.
You know, so much of life is a process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have decided that the reason why I have such poor grasp on how long it takes to do a task is because of the prevalence of montages in TV shows growing up.
A whole year happened in 60 seconds,
yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah, I can do that. But we do have some time blindness because we're all so hurried, and making progress is part of the journey. You know, maybe this year is about learning how to set goals, how to nail these down. And next year you'll be able to do it faster.
And as a recovering perfectionist, I know that it's about the process.
Mm.
Not the final outcome. For me, my success is based on, did I do the thing consistently? you know,
Right.
because for me, I have learned that if I can get the consistency down, I can get the rest taken care of. Consistency is my challenge. So I work my goals around that. Also, think about how you're analyzing what you're doing, not only breaking down your goals into monthly or quarterly goals, but then make sure you're doing your analysis at the end of that period. So at the end of the month, check your social media analytics if your goal is to increase your social media engagement. Mm-hmm. Make sure to write your wins and your lessons for that period, because you've learned something over the last month that can help you then course correct as you go forward for the next month or the next quarter. Again, no shame in course correcting or trading out priorities or replacing goals. It's a wise person that knows their limitations and their objectives. Mm-hmm. So you can always course correct. None of this is set in stone. It is not about being perfect. It's about making progress and getting closer to your end goal. And one of the things that Donald Miller talks about in The Hero's Journey is to starting with your eulogy.
Oh.
He imagines, you know, what do you want people to say about you at your funeral? And then work backwards from that. How do you get to be that person? Because we're all growing into a different version of ourselves. But if you're intentional, you get to choose. Are you going to be bitter? Or are you going to be better? Are you going to be an accomplished author? Or are you going to be somebody who wishes they had been an author?
Right.
Are you the person who talked about writing a book or writing the book? Are you the person who met the goals, traveled the world, did the things, whatever is important to you? And that's another thing I really want to stress, is making sure it's applicable to you. Just because somebody else says you need to post on social media 3 days a week, if that doesn't align with your goals and your objectives, then no, you do not need to be doing this. Really think about what you want to be, what you want people to say about you, what memories you want to leave for your loved ones, and work backwards from that.
So just a reminder, Authorpreneurs Community will be launching in January. Registration opens December 15th. Where can people look for that registration link?
You can check my social media. All the links are there. We are actually setting up social media for the Authorpreneurs Unleashed itself. So we'll be putting posts out about that. You can also go to the website, unleashingthenextchapter.com, and you will see a button for community there on the 15th. So we have a number of options on how to get to you. But if you will Google Unleashing the Next Chapter, we're the only ones that'll pop up.
The holidays are quickly approaching and we are going to be on hiatus so we can spend time with family and also go through our own goal setting process. Authorpreneurs Unleashed podcast will be on hiatus from December 15th, 2022 through January 15th, 2023. The 15th will be when we drop our first podcast of 2023.
So in case you are new to Authorpreneurs Unleashed, as we mentioned earlier, this is episode 21. Feel free to use the time we're on hiatus to catch up and find some of your favorites. We have talked to some amazing people over the last few months, and I know Jolynn and myself have both learned a lot from the interviews. So I would encourage you to listen to some that you find of interest and let us know what you want to hear more of in 2023. We would love for you to come join us in the Discord community for Unleashing the Next Chapter's writers, and we will put the link for that in the show notes. Please join us there and let us know how your goal setting process went, where you had any challenges, ask questions, and share with us your top three goals for 2023 as they relate to your authorpreneurial business.
Thanks for listening today. Come back next week as we continue to demystify the business of writing. Head on over to authorpreneursunleashed.com/podcast for show notes, links, and more.